Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on the Quirky Catnips podcast, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted, which we will do until the entire audiobook has been broadcasted. We invite all you kitties to kick back now, relax, and enjoy Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
A directive from Gertrude Fletcher, head of the Naval Utah Department of Motor Vehicles. Part 15.
All humans are phonies to some degree or another. The reasons for hiding our bona fide selves from the world varies, but the motives are always the same. Our true identities are the easiest secrets to keep of all. Everything else people blather out whether they want to or not. It's kind of a compulsion. It happens all the time at the Department of Motor Vehicles. The information people nervously disclose when they want something is nothing short of astounding. When it comes to the really important stuff, however, people are willing to die with their secrets. Delphina Fletcher was one of the rare ones who played all matters close to the vest, both in life and in whatever Kabbalistic form she inhabits now. She even kept secrets from her own family, including her grandson Boyd. A woman of many hidden talents, Delphina was a master draftswoman and cabinet maker. Old photos of pieces she made for Juniper Hollow depict a high degree of woodworking mastery. I didn't know Delphina when she was alive, but I came to appreciate her work conveyed through old photos and blueprints. I was intrigued by all the hidden compartments and false-bottomed drawers. Delphina's work wasn't just limited to hutches and armoires. She crafted larger things as well, including the lookout posts built into the pillars of the bridge at Juniper Hollow. While delighting in creating secret crannies and hiding nooks, Delphina didn't show most of them to her grandson. Why? Because Delphina operated as a lookout during Prohibition. She never revealed her role to anyone who didn't need to know, fearing for the safety of her family. After all, loose lips sink ships. It's not a stretch to say that Delphina's ability to keep a tight lid on sensitive information spared Boyd's life. Taj Wakefield, one of the teenagers living at Legacy Grove this summer, kept pertinent information from his family as well. Perhaps Taj was even hiding things from himself. But the truth will set you free. One simply can't live an authentic life or afterlife if they are steeped in secrets. I should know. I'm keeping plenty of them myself. Next!
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Chapter 15. Taj Wakefield.
When life hands you lemons, you're supposed to make lemonade. Fine. But what do you do when you're served a fuckaroni and screw you salad? This has been a suckwad summer, if there ever was one. Then it got worse. Danica hasn't said more than two words to me since we broke up. Work is just that. Work. Every day it's the same thing. Danica walks right past me like I'm some kind of scuzzy Goomba or something. The only time she gives any sign she even knows I'm alive is when she's texting or calling Brandon. Then she goes all gaga, giggling like Brandon's just said something really clever. Yeah, right. I live with this guy, and I can tell you, he isn't that clever. As predicted, Brandon is already sleazing around with another girl behind Danica's back. I knew he'd do that. Danica should have known too. It's not like she hasn't seen Brandon's slutty sideshow before. Getting the proverbial finger from Danica blows, but it's a minor annoyance compared to everything else. Coming in at number 3 in the Hot 100 countdown to the Armageddon of my life is the incineration of our ganja garden. What kind of heartless hellhound would do that? Brandon's pretty sure it was Moon and his dad. My own dad waking me up bright and early the morning after that horrendous scene in the Oasis seemed to confirm this. Dad started off with a few super lame, "How you doing?" questions. We both knew this wasn't a casual call. "What's going on, Dad?" I asked. No use in beating around the bush. If my ass was going to get fried, right along with the weed in the Oasis, we might as well get on with it. Dad didn't say anything about marijuana. He called to talk about Mom. She was back in rehab, trying to get herself to hold down a salad. Dad said Mom was so dehydrated, her organs were starting to shut down. She weighed in at just over 100 pounds. And where is the boyfriend who broke up our family, you might ask? Not helping Mom, that's for goddamn sure. This was a couple of days ago, but I'm just now finding out about it. Typical. Once they got Mom stabilized, they moved her to the opposite of a fat farm in Florida. That's where my grandparents live, so I guess it makes sense. Just like the last time Mom landed in rehab, they won't let me see her for a few weeks. Maybe they don't want to freak me out by how skinny she's gotten. On the bright side, if Moon or Brandon's dad were the ones who sent our weed up in smoke, at least they didn't narc me off to my dad. Or worse, my mom. This made me suspect Brucifer, my ex. Finding out he wasn't the one who torched our weed was a dong downer for sure. But in true Brucifer style, he made my life a living hell anyway. I knew we shouldn't have tried to sell weed to that man whore. 2 days after Brandon basically gave away our last pound of kush, Brucifer showed up at the pool in Naval with his boyfriend. How could he be such a cold-blooded troll? It was a Sunday, free day at the Naval City pool. The place was overloaded with screaming kids. Brucifer didn't wait until I was on break. No, this sausage jockey marched right up to the base of my guard chair, demanding to know where the field of magical marijuana was. In that moment, it became obvious Brucifer wasn't the one who incinerated our crop. Otherwise, why would he be in Naval with his douchey boyfriend? Panicked, I texted my safe word to Brandon. Gadzooks! It took almost an hour for Brandon to get to the pool. He'd been at Boyd Fletcher's place on Granite Ridge. Thanks to Boyd, Brandon's gone all, "Scooby-Doo, where are you?" I get it. The Oasis is haunted. Since we don't have any more weed growing there, the simple solution is to just stay away. But no. Brandon and the old crypt kicker on Granite Ridge can't leave anything alone. I'm just waiting for the part where Brandon rips the mask off whoever is ghosting the place, only to discover it was Boyd all along. Brucifer and his blonde-headed paddywhacker were in the park eating Navajo tacos and watching the Battle of the Bands when Brandon finally got to town. I used my break at the pool to form a quick game plan. Brandon would take these numbnuts out to the Oasis and give them what they came for. A good old-fashioned shit-your-pants-a-rama. Not that we could control what happens. We were just counting on it. If all Brucifer sees is scorched earth, at least he'll know we're out of business. Maybe then he'll go and stomp on some other drug dealer's heart. Of course, Brucifer doesn't know what a heart is, since he doesn't have one. The afternoon dragged on like the last day of school. I had a hard time concentrating on what I was doing, which was scary, since there were a million people in the pool. Brandon didn't have the decency to come back to Naval, so I had to wait until almost 7 o'clock to find out what happened to these scrotum scrunchers. According to Brandon, nothing. They followed Brandon out to the Oasis, and he left them there. Brandon couldn't be bothered to find out if some boogeyman, or woman, sprayed ectoplasm all over them, or whatever it is that ghosts do. I had no interest in watching a movie with Brandon. I was still ticked at him for stepping out on Danica. Scotty had some stupid educational thing on in the living room. All my weed was gone, leaving me with nothing to do except surf the net. Goddamn Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook. I don't know how many lives have been dumped in the crapper because of this platform. If there ever was a weapon of mass destruction, it would be Facebook. Evidence A. The photo Brucifer posted of the two of us looking a little more cozy than two guys should look. The caption said, "He used to be mine." I was floored. Brucifer is a prick of the highest order, but I never thought he'd actually out me. My hands were shaking as I deleted the pic of me and Brucifer. It was taken after a swim meet. We had our arms around each other and looked like we'd just finished snogging. Shit tarts! After I got rid of the offending picture, I deleted my Facebook account altogether. Maybe no one saw it. It was a Sunday night, and half the kids in Naval weren't even supposed to be on Facebook, although they all were. Maybe everyone was too busy praying for the end days, or whatever it is they teach in the Mormon church. Say a little prayer for me then while you're at it. If there was ever a crucifixion, it was the one Brucifer was performing on me. Why was he doing this? Brandon must have said something. More likely, though, that thing in the Oasis made Brucifer piss his pants in front of his new fudge packer. I'm gay. I can say stuff like that. Brandon hadn't seen the Facebook post yet. Otherwise, he'd be in here making plans to string Brucifer up by his balls. That's one of the things I like about Brandon. No matter how much I want to punch him in the face for what he's doing to Danica, he's still a solid friend. And yet, I couldn't bring myself to say anything. I had this skeevy idea that if I just ignored the situation, it would go away. It didn't. My phone pinged at 2:30 in the morning. The message said, "Gadzooks," in capital letters. I wasn't sleeping, of course, but I was surprised Brandon was still up. He had work in the morning. There was a stack of frozen waffles in the shed. Brandon kept them in Ziploc bags so we could use the boxes for dope. Guess we won't have to worry about that anymore. In a way, I was relieved. I don't get paranoid like Brandon does when I'm high, but lately pot just fills me with dread. I can't put my finger on it. I get this feeling like something truly apocalyptic is about to happen, and now it has.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. Whether you're going on a trip or just tripping, Quirky Cannabis Country is the perfect audiobook to take on your next adventure. Find out what happens when a group of extreme kooks gathers to participate in a reality TV show near an oasis of kick-ass cannabis. Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get it today on audible.com.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Brandon didn't think anyone from Naval had seen the pic yet. A bunch of our friends from Las Vegas had. Brandon's phone was blowing up. I had mine off. I just couldn't bear to look. In an act of solidarity, and to boost our chances of getting rid of that fucking photo, Brandon deleted his Facebook account. We were both getting sick of it anyway. It's just a bunch of posers trying to act like their life is fabulous, when in reality, all they do is hang out in the basement beating their meat. I've got Mondays off from the pool. Thank God. What if Danica saw that Facebook post? Now I know how Brandon feels. His life got thrown in the outhouse a couple years ago when this dweeb from his school posted some nude photos of his mom. Brandon has never forgiven Mrs. Spinkle for that. just like I will never forgive Brucifer for all the sins he's committed against me. I spent a few enjoyable moments fantasizing about roasting Brucifer's cock over an open fire. Then I went back to wigging out about the photo. To distract myself, I made turtle brownies, smothering them in a can of chocolate frosting. I don't usually cut corners like that, but somehow, eating the entire pan in as short amount of time as possible seemed like my life quest. Sorry, my bad. Mainlining sugar makes me a little gassy. And tired. I set the empty brownie pan on the coffee table and stretched out on the couch in the living room. I was watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Usually it makes me laugh. Today I just wanted to burp and fart and cry. Sheesh. I just can't believe what a dickwad Brucifer turned out to be. The brownies shot my sugar levels through the ceiling, then brought me down crashing with a thud. I felt like a lead volleyball being spiked on a floor of nails. Unable to keep my eyes open any longer, I drifted off into a sugar glucose sleep, wondering if volleyball players ever got sand up their cracks. If so, how do they get it out? I've had a few unpleasant sand in my shorts experiences, so this would be a useful thing to know. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. Scared of what I might find on my cell phone, I texted a question mark to Brandon from the burner phone I used for selling pot. Question marks are code for, what's going on? I waited for a response. 20 minutes ticked by, then 30. Was this good, or was this so odious it couldn't be put into a text? I wanted to turn on my regular phone, but was terrified at what kind of messages would be there. I decided to take just a quick peek. I'd let the battery die, so I had to plug my phone in. Standing at the kitchen counter, attached to the outlet through my charging cord, I saw 57 texts waiting to be read. No, make that 58. The latest being from Kiefer Nichols, inviting me over for a weenie roast. Ha ha. Kiefer's dad is this slimy cop with the Pitt County Sheriff's Department. His dad cheated on his mom with Blue McKenna, which totally grosses Brandon out. The ugly truth now was, if Kiefer saw that photo, so did everyone else in Naval. Holy Christ on a cracker! I really didn't care what most of these homophobes think, but I fucking hate that Danica knows. At first, I was too stunned to cry. I just stood there like a Nimrod, scrolling through one shitty message after another. Then I got pissed. I waited until I got outside to the orchard to blow my cork. When it comes to emotional meltdowns, road rage, or even loud laughter, we're trained here at Legacy Grove to take it outside. Otherwise, we might wake up Rudy. Whoever does that gets to deal with him, which usually involves a smelly, gushy diaper and lots of crying. So we go outside. I hadn't even made it to the orchard before I chucked my cell phone. Without even aiming, I hit a tree, causing one of the oranges to drop to the ground. For some reason, that made me even madder, like that stupid orange was mocking me. Oh yeah? I screamed, charging at the tree, grabbing it around its pathetic neck, and shaking the damn thing until most of the oranges dropped off. Harvest season was still a couple of weeks away, but these buggers aren't natural. Nothing that grows at Legacy Grove is. And I know why. It's because Blue McKenna used to haul in dirt from the oasis for her indoor pot plants. She'd throw the rest out in the orchard. Everyone knows a bunch of polygamists were buried in the oasis, which Blue says makes awesome mulch. It's the reason oasis weed is so legendary. But here's a stone-cold fact about what it does to navels. It turns them into blood oranges. Not the fancy schmancy kind you find at upscale produce stores. These bad boys are red on the inside with a thick juice that looks and smells like actual blood. Don't try eating one. I did that once as part of a mission. Big mistake. I kept choking that poor tree until even a bunch of its leaves dropped to the ground. I couldn't see where my cell phone was anymore. Good. I never wanted to look at that freaking thing again. Then the tears came, hot and salty. Kind of like the goobering Brandon does when he's upset. That's how he found me, my hands covered in red from breaking open some of the oranges I'd been throwing everywhere. Brandon had Italian subs from Celestial Sandwiches. It must have killed him to fork over $5 to buy dinner for me. That's how I know Brandon is my one and only true friend. We ate in the packing shed, washing down our sandwiches with Rowdy's Righteous Root Beer. Brandon's dad knocked on the door a couple times, but didn't come in. Brandon's pretty rude in the way he deals with his dad these days. Yeah, it's kinda gross to think about Brandon's dad slipping the old banana to his sister-in-law, but Brandon would sidle up to damn near anyone, so I'm not sure why he's being so judgy. Scotty must have phoned my dad. He tried to get me to take his calls a couple times, but Brandon kept telling Scotty to go away. Scotty is being real careful around Brandon these days and didn't yell back like he normally would. I wasn't in the mood to deal with my dad either, sure that he was regretting the day he ever adopted me. And what about Mom? Thinking about how sad this was going to make her started a whole new round of tears. Just for the record, I've seen Brandon cry way more than he's seen me cry. To make me feel better, Brandon took out his notebook and started writing down ideas to make it our holy mission to ram it up Brucifer's ass. Some of the stuff got pretty graphic and could have been considered a threat if anyone read it. I'm not sure what prompted this, but at some point, Brandon got tired of thinking of innovative ways to castrate Brucifer and came up with a helpful idea. I could call Randall. He used to be in the gay mafia. Maybe we could sick them on the homo haters in Naval. Brandon says Randall and Moon's kids got hassled by some pious pricks they met on the playground at school. Maybe Randall would be itching for revenge against these bigoted bastards. I wondered if Randall would actually answer. I'm sure he didn't recognize my burner number. I downshifted out of despair and into unleaded fear. Was I really calling an adult I barely knew to ask what I should do about a twitchy photo on Facebook? Yep, apparently I was. Randall picked up on the fourth ring. He was all ears. And by that, I mean he wanted to hear the entire story, from the beginning. It was hard because I had to talk around the parts that involved the Oasis. I didn't mention that Brucifer was in Naval, only that he got revenge by posting a pic that showed the two of us looking way too chummy. It was a relief to talk about this with someone other than Brandon. I know Brandon has my back more than any human, including my parents, but I get sick of the constant teasing. Yes, I want to beat that monkey off my back. No, my butthole hasn't been turned into the Mudville 9. Randall is famous for catty zingers as well, but he never directs any of them at me. We talked for more than an hour. At first, Randall tried to get me to laugh the whole thing off, pointing out I no longer had to spend the rest of my life dodging women's Wookiees. Who knew these dainty dames had so much hair down there? In the end, Randall's best advice was to just own it. Otherwise, I'd be running away from my own gayness for the rest of my friggin' life. Kinda like you, Randall? I asked. Silence. A rarity with Randall. The next morning, instead of packing my stuff and trying to find a ride out of this nightmare, I got in the SUV with Scotty and Rudy and headed to the Naval City pool. It was the last day of swim lessons. Originally, I had planned to bring treats to my students, but ran out of time due to all the crying and whatnot the night before. Good thing I didn't bother. Scotty and Rudy were the only ones who showed up for class. Walking into the pool complex, I could almost hear everyone sucking in their breath. No one said a word. They couldn't. I was with Scotty and Rudy, local celebrities because of Blue. I could feel their beady little eyes burning holes in my skin. Awkward doesn't even begin to cover what swimming lessons were like that day. All the other teachers and a lot of the kids were giving us some serious side eye. It was a long goddamn 90 minutes. When it was over, Scotty left to take Rudy to the sitters before he went into work. My lifeguarding shift didn't start until 1. Normally, I'd swim some laps, practice some dives, and take a quick shower before open swim. Scratch all that, especially the shower. I can't imagine what people would do if I took off my clothes. Sure, I shower in a private stall, but I'm pretty sure my naked bum is the last thing I should be toweling off around here. Looking in the fridge in the guard shack, I noticed someone had taken my peanut butter and jelly sandwich and twisted it into a tight knot. The bread couldn't handle all that abuse and was seeping gelatinous globs of jelly. So, it's come to this. I wasn't going to let these Jesus freaks get the best of me. I left the messy remains of my sandwich where it was, unwilling to give whoever did this the satisfaction of knowing I'd seen how they murdered an innocent sandwich. That's okay. I'm not too crazy about peanut butter to begin with. It was just something I threw together at the last minute. As I was heading out to grab some food before open swim started, I got called into the manager's office. Uh-oh. Am I getting in trouble for talking to Brucifer during my shift on Sunday? No. Apparently, I was getting fired. That wasn't the word they used, but it boiled down to the same thing. Something about how I got extra hours teaching swimming lessons beyond what is allowed, which meant some of the first-year lifeguards couldn't work their quota for the summer. There was a formal calculation all written up, showing how the hours I spent teaching weren't counted against the 20-hour-a-week limit for the first-year employees. Those 3 extra hours a week that added up over the summer gave them the perfect excuse to tell me to take a hike. So that's exactly what I did. Hiked back to Legacy Grove. Not that I wanted to. I had gotten a ride into town with Scotty, not knowing they were going to sack me at the pool. Dingle-dong that I am, I actually thought I'd make it through a whole day in Naval. It took me most of the afternoon to get home. It's only a couple of miles, but once I got outside of town, I took my time, breaking down a little more with each miserable step. I was sobbing by the time I reached my spliff sofa, the place just down the lane from Gecko's Gulch, where I used to enjoy a nice fatty. I can't imagine ever smoking pot again. It totally screwed up my life. If I had just acted like a normal kid instead of one of the drug dealers from that show, Weeds, this whole thing with Brucifer would have never happened. I'm lucky I didn't get arrested. Brandon doesn't know this, but his dad has been talking to me about trying to get into medical school. Math and science are easy for me, which Scotty says helps a lot when it comes to applying for college. Brandon's going to be mad when he finds out I want to be a doctor instead of opening a marketing company with him. Good. I'm glad I can do something to get him back for what he's done to Danica. Oh my God. Danica. She wasn't at the pool today. I don't know if this was by design or just a lucky break on my part. Either way, she knows for sure I'm a backdoor butler. Fuck. Fuck. Fuck! I screamed the word over and over. I'd never let myself get this hysterical before. It kind of scared me. I was thrashing around, pounding my hands on the spliff sofa, which is really just a long flat rock. My hands were bleeding, but I didn't care. I just kept screaming. Then, something weird happened. Suddenly, the air around me got super cold. Holy cannoli. That thing from the Oasis was back.
Help me! Holy hairballs, kiddies. This isn't the only quirky thing prancing around the planet. Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park is an entire audiobook dedicated to quirky cat stuff.
This is a story for people who appreciate a good cat tale. The rest of you can go stab yourselves with your stupid allergy pens.
Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Get it today on audible.com.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.